welcome to a waiver wire edition of Fantasy Football Almost Daily. I'm Paul Charchian, my co-host as usual on Saturdays. Well, you are a frequent Saturday co-host.
I am.
Including Tuesday, as it is today.
Yes.
Scott Fish.
Hey.
The lots going down on the trade deadline. There could be things that happen while we're recording.
Just now, like just 2 minutes ago.
Yep. Golden Tate just traded to the
That's
Eagles.
That's not even the one I was talking about.
Wait, hold on. I think I've got, do we have a newer notable one? Oh, Ty Montgomery just got moved.
Ty Montgomery to the Ravens.
I'll be honest, it doesn't interest me.
Buck Allen saw like no usage the last 2 weeks.
I know. Good.
I know good, but I'm just saying.
Ty Montgomery's not good either.
It was good of the Packers to send him to a contender. Class move. that was Andy Carlson's tweet.
I like that. You know, for Montgomery, I don't think he's any more rosterable now than he was before, and I don't think this changes much of anything for Alex Collins.
I think it's funny though that
in the wake of everything that went down last week, where he potentially lost that game for the Packers.
Yep.
That they ship him off 2 days later.
Yeah, Aaron Nagler was saying they might just cut him. But they ended up getting a 2027th out of it, so good for that.
They got something, I guess. Yes, they got something for
Watch,
Ty Montgomery.
It's like conditional, too. Yeah. I don't know if it is or not.
Before we dive directly into the waiver wire stuff, I don't think the Golden Tate machinations has any waiver wire angle to it. I don't think there's a depth guy from the Lions.
You don't think it's a TJ Jones? No. They play so many three receiver sets.
Well, they did because Golden Tate was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just – I don't think this is a reflection on Golden Tate at all.
No.
I see this as the Lions looking at a guy who they knew they weren't going to be able to afford to re-sign, and so you may as well get something for him while you can.
It's interesting, though. Like, they're trying to make a run, and they just went and got Snacks Harrison.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like they were going all in. And now,
sure, but Snacks was under contract for a couple more years.
Right.
And
I'm just saying for this
Tate's 8 games away from being a free agent.
Right.
I think that's the whole thing here.
So Philly's got 3 slot receivers now.
Isn't that funny? Matthews has actually been a big part of their game plans.
Yeah.
And Tate's so much better than Jordan Matthews.
And Tate can play better outside. I will say the thing that confuses me is that Aguilar and Jordan Matthews are notoriously bad when going outside.
That's right.
So
I think they're going to move Tate outside.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just because Aguilar can't play anywhere else.
Yep. Exactly.
And Jordan Matthews isn't good. So right. I'm going to continue.
That's why they made the move. They did not want to give Jordan Matthews 30% of the snaps anymore.
No, I don't think they did.
Nope.
I think that was a lot of it. Yep. All right, let's dive into the waiver wire stuff, and we'll transition right from all the trading. Demaryius Thomas now in Houston. Houston kind of going all in on this season, and they didn't have to pay much to get him. But let's talk Courtland Sutton.
Yep.
That's the biggie. He was already a recommended waiver wire addition before the trade. And you look at the usage going up last week, 73 yards on 4 targets, 3 receptions. Ownership availability is 88%. So available in a lot of leagues for Courtland Sutton, who now moves. He was already getting a lot of work. So I don't think the snap count goes up dramatically because he was already a 70% snap count guy, as memory serves. I think now he might be an 80% snap count guy. But the difference here is his targets have always been in the 3 range.
Right.
The 4 range. Now, yep. I think Courtland Sutton's targets are going to be 6 and 7 a game.
Yep.
And he might be better than Demaryius Thomas.
He might. And have you seen his schedule from week 12 to week 16?
So this is your playoff schedule and the weeks leading into the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me.
Against wide receivers, 29th, 27th, 24th, 25th, 22nd.
Dang.
No,
that's juicy.
The only good top corner he plays is Denzel Ward, who he's got 40 pounds and 5 inches on.
Wow. How about that?
So that's a 5
That's very
inch stretch.
Promising. That's very promising.
Yeah.
All right.
Not to mention that. Third in yards per catch in the NFL at 19.1. So he doesn't even need that many catches.
No.
And he's got 40 yards or a touchdown in 5 straight games. A 40-yard catch or a touchdown in 5 straight. Meaning he's getting at least one play a game that's like 5 points for you or more.
How about that?
That's just one of his plays
and
per
game. And
that
was with Demaryius Thomas on the field.
Exactly.
So what's he worth without it? Now, this is where you and I, we both think Courtland Sutton's a good player. We both think there's opportunity here. But here's where you and I
vastly disagree.
Pretty vastly. My blind bidding recommendation is 30%, and I could see going up to 40 or 50% of your original budget
right.
To get him if you are really strapped at wide receiver. But that's it for me. That's as high as I'm going for the number two receiver in a middling offense.
You know what? I actually completely agree with that. Oh, go with 50% of your original budget if that's all you have left.
if that's all you have left. Okay. So you're all in. You say drop every last free agent dollar on Cortland Sutton.
I am all in. I know I'm not alone on this, but I'm also you're also not alone on people who are like, hey, temper those expectations now. You know, I think over the last 2 weeks, he's been a top 36 wide receiver in fantasy, and that was with Demaryius Thomas. I think that's like his floor now. I think he's probably going to still be in the late 20s, early 30s, but you can't find that in the waiver wire very often. And I just think he's going to get such consistent production going forward. Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Sanders is going to get consistent production.
Yes, he will.
He's the best receiver on the team, and he's got a lot of chemistry built up there. Yep. Who would you rather have going forward, Cortland Sutton or Demaryius Thomas now in Houston with a far better quarterback?
Cortland Sutton. I actually think Demaryius Thomas becomes like, and I know people would hate to hear this, but a 2A, 2B with Kiki Kuti. I think it's DeAndre Hopkins, and then I think it's the other two, you know?
Yeah.
I don't actually – he's not a replacement for Fuller. He's a very, very different player.
Very different. Yeah, you can't just go run Fuller's routes.
Exactly.
You know, because the routes that Fuller was stretching the field on in 3 seconds downfield, Thomas can't run.
Yeah. Weirdly, there was rumored that the Texans were talking to the Patriots about Philip Dorsett. That would have been a better fit for the Fuller role, to be honest.
Yeah, might have.
But
although Fuller's a bigger, stronger receiver, better after the catch by
absolutely.
A mile.
But yep.
I think Demaryius Thomas is
revenge game, by the way, for Demaryius right off the bat.
Do they have Denver
next?
They play
each other next.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. Did they really? Yep. Wow. Well, see, the catch here though is even though they desperately need a functional number two receiver and QT might not play.
Yeah.
How many plays can Thomas even be on the field for realistically?
Right, yeah.
You know, I think they will earmark, 20 plays for him that he's going to know and be able to run with confidence, of which out of those 20, maybe they throw his way five times for Demaryius, and that might be it. And then maybe he catches two out of the, you know. So I just think I can't see an immediate impact for Thomas. And that's part of the problem with trading a wide receiver as opposed to a running back. Well, the wide receiver, you don't know the playbook, you don't know the terminology, you don't know the route tree, you don't know, you know, where you're supposed to be. All the chemistry with the quarterback, how you have to synchronize everything. There's so many disadvantages for wide receivers to try to make an immediate impact.
Yep.
Josh Gordon, it took him a month before he was on the field for over half of the snaps.
Right.
So it just takes time.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the downside of Thomas.
I was not big on Thomas going into this year in the first place, and now I'm a little. It's a little bit of a lateral move, but early on, it's a major downgrade.
One quick side note. These are all trade deadline things happening at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
This is all new to us because of the Patriots. The Patriots made it okay. 2 years ago, they made a handful of trades near the deadline, and teams apparently went, oh, well, if the Patriots are doing, I guess it's okay to trade. And now we have actual movement at the deadline.
So thank you, Patriots, because this
is
fun.
Because it's a copycat league, and if Patriots don't do it first, nobody else can do it.
By the way, if you're in super deep leagues, much deeper than most people play in, Tim Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton become interesting for Denver now. Just throwing it out there for deeper leagues. Charge has got this. I don't like
deeper
leagues.
Rolling my eyes at you.
Yeah.
I think that's far too deep for it. Almost any league. Okay, let's go to our what was previously the big story of the waiver wire this week. Stu Beard is back.
He is.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I love it.
I knew this article would headline with his picture the second that happened.
I didn't do that. Actually, Christian did that, and I want to thank him for putting words to my recommendations here, which I appreciate. Ryan Fitzpatrick, let's remember, the first three full games as a starting quarterback, only Patrick Mahomes rivaled him, and nobody had more points than him at the quarterback position. He was the number one scoring quarterback for the three full games he played in. Then he had a bad half against Chicago, and they yanked him. Meanwhile, Dirk Cutter decides Jameis Winston can throw a million bad passes, and he's not going to yank him. It took until there was no choice left before they pulled Jameis Winston and put the Stew Beard back in. And what did he do in one quarter? He put up a full game of stats right. in one quarter. 200 yards and three touchdowns.
You want a fun stat on the Bucs?
Might have been two. Yeah.
This last week, they broke the NFL record for most passing yards in the first eight games. And they've been...
two different guys.
It's two different guys.
That's amazing.
This defense is so bad that they have to
throw constantly. That's the beauty of Stewbeard.
Weirdly, Stewbeard's deep ball game is so much
better.
It's
so good, isn't it?
It's so much better, yeah.
And see, what I love is just the way he comports himself, it feels like it doesn't even matter who the defense is or what the situation is. He just bombs away. Bombs away. And it's the beauty. He's never had good receivers until this year.
He's got the perfect guys for it.
He does. He's got all these receivers who are built to catch these downfield passes like DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans. And we've talked about it many times. Mike Evans is literally double the fantasy points in games with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Look
and
at what
Cameron
happened.
Brate dies.
Cameron Brate dies. That's true too. Yeah. There is a price to be paid for that. How much are you paying for Stewbeard in one quarterback leagues and in quarterback flex leagues?
I don't even know that we've seen the end of Jameis Winston, to be honest. But in quarterback flex leagues, if somehow he's available,
he's available in most quarterback flex leagues. He's really? Going to start for a month.
Man.
His ownership is 6%, Scott.
Yeah, but in quarterback flex
it's
leagues.
It's still low.
Man.
It's low. Trust me.
It's probably maybe low as in like 50, 60%. But guys like that, there are bench quarterbacks in super flex league available just in case. I'm paying a hefty fee in quarterback heavy leagues, but in
how
a
much? Yeah, put a number on it.
I don't know, 40% in a QB heavy league.
All right, and then in a QB one league, one quarterback league, what are you paying for Stewbeard?
Maybe 15%.
Okay, I've got it at 20 and 30, so we're in the same general ballpark.
Yeah, 20 is completely fair. I mean, just because of how much he passes.
The upside is just it's bonkers.
Yeah,
what he can potentially give you. You know, if you're going to war with the Flaccos and the Prescotts and, guys like that. And not a lot, most teams aren't because there are a lot of good quarterbacks out there. But what a compelling opportunity to upgrade at the position.
Mm-hmm.
The only other quarterback I want to mention for the waiver wire podcast here is Alex Smith with a juicy matchup against the Falcons. He's been a fantasy nightmare, frankly, to this point. But it's such a good matchup. And I believe we have the possibility of a near full health game for Paul Richardson, who played last week, and Jameis Crowder might come back as well. So if you're looking for a guy for $1 that you can start.
And 1 week. I don't even love his schedule. So
no, it's a 1 week play. Yeah. That's it. Let's go to the running backs. Doug Martin was last week's news. Most of our kinds of listeners, they're already rostered. He's already rostered. Let me mention this. You can get a week ahead on the news on Giovanni Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
They're on bye this week. The Bengals are. At this time next week, he'll be back. Assuming there wasn't a setback based on the original prognosis, this was his timetable to come back next week. You can get Giovanni Bernard dirt cheap right now because you're a week ahead of time, which I always like to
do. People aren't thinking about it. Yep.
Josh Adams could be your new lead runner for the
Eagles.
Good.
He looked good.
I thought he looked okay.
Before the fumble.
He looked okay. I don't think he looked great. But here's the important thing to know statistically. Since Ajayi's injury, Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood averaging 2.7 yards per carry.
Yuck.
That's it. So they've got opportunity. The Eagles need somebody to step up, and they want it to be Josh Adams, who is the biggest of the backs, and also notably the slowest. I thought he looked slow. He does. You can tell he doesn't do as much for me as he does for you.
No, I don't exactly mean like he looks amazing. I mean, he looked okay. He looked good. He powered through some nice
I'd
runs.
Throw a small number on Josh Adams at maybe 5% as a bye week fill-in guy. That's it. Does Elijah McGuire do anything for you?
Not really. I mean, he's come back this week, but I just.
All right, let's move on. Devontae Booker. He's. I noticed this going into last week's game. He's actually getting they are partitioning out the three running backs dead even.
Yep.
It's 33% for all of them. It's uncanny. Yeah. Before last week's game when Royce Freeman didn't play. Now, Freeman has got this high ankle sprain. Those things are notoriously tricky.
He might miss a couple more weeks.
He may miss a couple more weeks on the high ankle sprain. And so Devontae Booker is a guy you could pick up and potentially start as early as this week against the Texans. Let's talk a couple more wide receivers. We already spent a lot of time on Cortland Sutton. DJ Moore, really, the game off for Torrey Smith opened the door for him, and he kicked it down.
This was waiting to happen all year. This is something that should have happened earlier in the season, is he should have had his breakout. But it's fine.
How do you get Torrey Smith off the field?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't trust that. I don't trust Norv Turner that much anymore anyway. But, yeah, this is a guy that I would spend more. I'm looking at your 5% recommendation, and I think he's actually going to be a pretty solid contributor here on out.
Well, so I might go a little higher. Here's my worries on DJ Moore. One, Torrey Smith comes back. Two, look at the plethora of receiving options for Cam Newton. When he drops back to pass, he can throw to his running back, Christian McCaffrey, throw to his tight end, Greg Olsen. He can throw to his number one receiver, Devin Funchess. He can throw to his chain-moving third down guy, Jarius Wright. Mm-hmm. He can throw to slot guy,
Curtis Samuel.
Thank you. Curtis Samuel, if he wants to. I mean, there's many options.
Yes,
I worry
absolutely.
We're not going to get any level of consistency out of DJ Moore, even though obviously it looks like he's a talented player who's requisite of the draft pick that they put into him.
This is true, but I mean, Tampa Bay twice, Pittsburgh, New Orleans twice, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like he's got some games where he can show up. Yeah. I'm not saying 40%. I'm just saying 5% feels a little, maybe 15% for me.
Okay,
I think he's going to be the starting outside receiver.
Which D Moore would you rather have, DJ or David?
Oh man, that's tough because Russell Wilson absolutely adores David Moore in the red zone.
Sure looks like it, doesn't it? Another touchdown last week. Yeah. Four touchdowns in the last three.
And they
games.
Just cut Brandon Marshall.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
they cut Brandon
they
Marshall
cut Brandon
outright.
Marshall.
Wow.
Yep.
What does that say about David Moore? Here's your starter.
Yeah.
I get a better passing quarterback in Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Oh, his game last week. Sweet. He only threw 17 passes, but man, he looked good.
Who doesn't love second half Russell Wilson?
I know. Second, it's showing up already.
Yeah. As much as I love DJ Moore and I'm a dynasty guy, it's probably David Moore for this season.
So. Probably. For this year.
Yeah.
I don't
Those
think
touchdowns
David Moore
matter.
Has the raw talent that
no,
DJ's got.
I don't even think that's close, but
yeah.
He's getting the red zone looks.
Yeah, that counts for a lot. We like touchdowns.
Yeah.
Paul Richardson gets the Falcons this week as a one-week plug-in. You could even in big leagues in desperation go to Josh Doctson, but I don't recommend it. It's all just about that matchup. Devontae Parker, last week feels like an absolute mirage, the 134 receiving yards on 9 targets because of the obliteration to the receivers. But I don't think Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills are coming back. So he's going to be a starter again this week, I think. And it's the Jets. What do you think about Devontae Parker?
He's definitely gonna get some plays. That's for sure. And this offense is much better with Brock. I have trouble loving him though, right? Like it's hard to really get behind him. Maybe a couple bucks.
That's it for me too.
Yeah.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Mm-hmm. Trying not to overreact to one play and one long touchdown, but it just feels like he's a little too good for them to not give more playing time to.
Can we overreact to the fact that he played more snaps than both Cobb and Allison?
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm cool with that.
In fact, nearly twice as many snaps as
really?
Cobb?
Really? I like it. Tell
oh,
me
Oh, not
more.
Nearly twice as much. What, one-third as
They're
much?
They're easing Cobb back in.
But, yeah, he played.
But he won't play the slot, I don't think.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. I mean, Cobb's, that's the problem. Where does he play?
Yeah, he's got to take reps from Allison primarily.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard to.
Would you drop Allison? Let's cut to the chase on Valdes-Scantling. Would you drop Allison?
For Valdes-Scantling?
No, period. Just for whoever.
I don't think I would drop Allison yet.
No?
I don't think so.
He did nothing against the Rams in that wretched secondary.
I know. Man. To tell you the truth, I mean, Cobb and Allison are right on the edge, though. It depends on your roster size, I suppose. But God. In most of my leagues, I can't drop Allison
People
yet,
were mad at me because I didn't have Cobb in my top 60 wide receivers, so he fell off the bottom of
right.
the cheat sheet.
Right.
He shouldn't even been in the database.
These two, I mean, if I have the Packers next week, I'm having trouble giving either of them starting grades anymore.
Because
now.
you don't know about the playing time. Yeah. And I like Aaron Rodgers a lot in this matchup this week. By the way, the matchup this week is the Patriots.
To be honest, it's going to be hard to even say Scantling for a starting grade either.
Well, no, it is.
None of them.
It's because it's the rotation.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams is safe.
Yeah.
We'll take him.
Yeah.
Jack Doyle's ownership is only 32%. So 68% of our listening audience can go get a guy on the team that throws the most passes to the tight end position.
Yep.
Jack Doyle, Colts, 6 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown last week.
Andrew Luck has thrown more touchdowns to the tight end percentage-wise than any other quarterback in the NFL.
I'm not surprised.
In his career.
I'm not surprised. Oh, through his whole career.
Through his career.
Yeah. That sounds right.
And not to mention, what did Doyle played 78% of snaps and Ebron like 30?
Yeah, how about that?
In game one, coming back.
I'll tell you what.
I want to double
check
that.
Now, Ebron scored. Mm-hmm. Are you selling right now on Ebron?
How come that keeps happening? That's ridiculous.
The touchdowns to Ebron, who could not score at all in Detroit?
Jack Doyle, 57 snaps, 73%. Ebron, 22%, 17 snaps.
Sell on Ebron.
17 snaps.
So you got to use that data to sell on Ebron because he scored the touchdown. And this is your chance to get out. If Doyle's going to – if that's going to be the case going forward, as much as they're going to throw to tight ends – you still, Ebron's going to have some bad games.
By the
he's going to be on the field 22%
By the way, this was snap count Doyle, too. Mm-hmm. This was him on a snap count.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
He traditionally plays over 90% of snaps. So.
How about that?
So, yeah, sell Ebron if
sell
you can.
Sell Ebron now.
Touchdowns are fluky, even though he keeps friggin' scoring them.
And every tight end with a pulse is worth something.
Yep.
You know, there's somebody out there right now that just started CJ Uzoma and got zero.
There are people out there that started Njoku.
And David Njoku.
That's
somebody
worst
on Fantasy Football
week.
Weekly who said that he was my number one tight end
he
of
was.
The week.
He was. That might be one of my all-time worst calls. I will say I didn't see him lower than 6 anywhere. So I think everyone got that one.
I think we had him around 6.
Yep. It was at 6.
On Fanball, we had him around 6.
Fanball, like, and on Fantasy Pros, nearly everyone, 6 or higher.
All right. So
I don't feel that bad.
No. And you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked out Fanball's auction game, you absolutely should do so. It's the most fun you can have in 5 minutes of fantasy football. It is bonkers. Real-time multiplayer bidding on more than one player at a time. If you've done online auctions, this is nothing like this.
It's different and amazing.
It's different, amazing, super fun. Play for free, play for cash, however you want to play. Fanball auctions are awesome. Fanball.com/bid. What else? Anything?
No, that's it. Come on back tomorrow for a new episode of something.
Something coming tomorrow. I think we should break down the Lion Bar. I want the Peanut Lion Bar. I think we should break that down tomorrow.
Yeah.
That would be good.
That'd be a good call.
All right, bye. We'll be right back.